We now begin the fourth parak of Maseches Shkalim. This is 4:1, and we're going to discuss over the next couple of Mishnayos what was actually purchased with the Machzor Shekel. So Hatruma, that means the coins that were put into the boxes labeled Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, 3 times a year as you took them from the chamber. Mehaya Osenba, what was done with that money? First of all, Lokhinba Tamidin, it was used to purchase the daily offerings, morning and afternoon, Tamichel Shachar, Tamichel Ben Harbaim, which of course is a communal offering, Umusafin, also the additional public offerings that are brought. Those are basically Olos and Chataos. You have an Ola and a Chatas, essentially all the Musafin, except on Shabbos, no Chatas. Vinis Kehem, also they're accompanying, Niskehem actually has not got a proper translation in English. You probably have libations, if you have an English translation there, which is fine. Every Korban Ola and every Korban Shlamim, whether it's public or private, is accompanied with Nisachim. Nisachim actually have two components. One is a wine libation, which is poured on the Mizbeach and the two little holes. And that's fine. So we're talking about purchasing the wine to do the Nisach Hayayin in the Safsal, this little bowl they had on the Mizbeach. The other accompanying agents that comes along with these Olos and Tamidin are what are called the Minchas Nesachim. These are meal offerings. There's a meal offering also brought. So although the word Nesach means like things that you pour, hence libations, but it refers both to the wine as well as the meal offering. So the point is that where you have a obligation to bring Nesachim for a Korban Sibur or a communal offering, so you will be able to purchase those wine and meal, flour, etc., with the money. Furthermore, it says Ha'omer Ushtei Alechem B'Lechem Apanim. These are we're talking here about the grains that are going to be purchased to bring these offerings. The Omer brought on the second day of Pesach from barley, Ushtei Alechem brought on Shavuos from wheat, and the Lechem Apanim, which is actually like the Ushtei Alechem, doesn't actually make its way onto the Mizbeach. It's not really an offering per se, but it's waved. The lechem upon him is waved in front of the mizbeach. The shtei lechem is waved in front of the mizbeach, and the lechem upon him is sits on the shulchan on the table there in the kodesh, and is from week to week. Every Shabbos it's changed out. Those 12 loaves. So the grain used to make those various breads can be paid for with the truma, the money taken from the Machzor Shekel. As far as the lechem upon him goes, so those translate in English often as the show breads. It was actually very difficult to make them. A speciality in terms of the manufacturer was required, and the artisans who made the lechem upon him, the show bread, charged, I guess, a premium for their expertise, and you could indeed pay them for their work, because you need to have special workers who know how to make the lechem upon him with its very unusual form. It's got it's hard to describe, like a U shape. In any case, so in addition to the purchase of the supplies, you can also pay for the labor for the lechem upanim. The kol karbanos hatzibor, and also all the other various communal offerings. What's coming to be added by that? So the Bar Tanura just brings, that we're talking about ketores. There's the incense offering that's brought on the golden mizbeach in the kodesh, and that incense is purchased with the machzor shekel money that's taken, the truma. In addition, you would have things like the seir lashem, the goat that's offered to Hashem on Yom Kippur, etc., or Yom Kippurim. And then you also have things like the wood that's used to light the fires, the Mizbeach, and the salt into which the karbonos are dipped. So these things are all essential components of karbonos tzibur, of communal offerings, and therefore they also are included in the legitimate use of the funds of the Machzor Shekel. Now, the next part of the Mishnah, we're going to focus on where do you get your grain, meaning your barley and your wheat, to get your Omer and your Shtei Lechem and your Lechem Aponim, in the event that it's a Shemitah year, Shvias, the Shvias, the seventh year in the cycle. So in those years, you're not allowed to plant grain, to work the land. So where will you get your grain from? Now, when it comes, I shouldn't have said Lechem Aponim in the mix here, I regret that, take it back. When it comes to the Omer and the Shtei Lechem, you have no choice but to get grain that grew in Eretz Yisrael. That's a requirement. So you can't sidestep the Shemitah restrictions of working the land by getting land foreign grain. And also, it can't be from last year's crop. It's specifically required that the grain used for the Omer and the Shtei Lechem came from this year's grain crops. The bringing of the Korban Omer, the barley offering, is what permits this year's grain for regular human consumption. It allows one to eat what's called the Chadash, which becomes Yashan, then the new crop. And the Shtei Lechem, which the wheat that's leavened and waved, is what is the Matir, which allows for this year's grain products to be used as Menachos for meal offerings in the base of Mikdash. So this had to come from this year's crop. Now the problem is, it's Shemitah, and you can't plant and cultivate crops in the Shemitah year. So what do? You'll have to get it from the wild. And the things that grew naturally on the Shemitah year, which are called Svichin, typically translated in English as aftergrowths, because they grow by themselves after the harvest the next year, because little seeds scatter in the wind and when you harvest things. But that's an awkward translation. I just don't have a better one. But the point is, Svichin are plants that grew in the Shemitah year by themselves, without being intentionally planted and cultivated. So, although there might be some rabbinic restrictions on Svichin, put that aside for now. The point is, from the Torah, Svichin are permitted to be eaten if you didn't plant them, and Svichin will be the source for where we'll get the barley and wheat to get our Omer and Shtei Lechem. So the problem is, since all the land's produce is all Hefker, it's ownerless, so you can't be certain that someone have helped themselves to any particular, you know, wheat growing somewhere. So you'll need to appoint guards who will keep an eye on the grain as it grows to put people on notice that this is grain that's been earmarked for the Beis HaMikdash to use in their Omer and the Shtei Lechem. Now, technically, actually, one is not allowed to restrict access to Hefker produce that's growing. That's certain according to at least some Rishonim. It actually makes the food that's been guarded and treated privately as forbidden altogether. So these guards who are watching over the grain that will become the Omer and the Shtei Lechem, they can't actually chase people away. The most they can do is say, when people come, to put them on notice and say, listen, that was what the Beis HaMikdash was planning on using, and I guess they hope for the best that people act as considerate citizens and don't take that grain. In addition, they have to make sure that the animals and birds don't get to the grain. And so, therefore, you have to have guards to ensure that you're going to have the grain that you'll need to bring these offerings. So the payment of those guards is, since it's the necessary part of the to ensure you have the korbanos you need and the Shemitah year, the payment can come from the Shemitah money, from the Machzor Shekel money that was Nitram. And that's what it says here. Shomrei Svichin b'Shvias, the guards who are watching over the things that grew by themselves, the wheat and barley grew by itself on the Shvias year. Notlin Scharan Mitruma Salishka, they can take their money, meaning they can be paid from the communal funds that were taken as Machzor Shekel. Now, Rabbi Yossi is going to disagree, but Rabbi Yossi actually agrees to that principle. And as he agrees, you could pay guards to watch over the grain. His point here, Rabbi Yossi is going to say it's not necessary to do it that way. If you have someone who has some grain, which he obtained on the Shemitah year by his own keeping an eye out for his grain, and he brings it, and he dedicates it, his Machzor Shekel to the Beis HaMikdash to be communal, so then Rabbi Yossi says that's also okay. So it's not absolutely necessary to have hired guards. You could accept grain from a private citizen. That's Rabbi Yossi's contention, and the Chacham reject that. They say absolutely not. Everyone agrees that it has to be communal grain, and once you have a private person who owned it, even if he is saying he's being makdish, he's contributing it and consecrating it for the sake of the tzibur, the community, still there's a chashash, there's a concern that he doesn't with his full heart totally relinquish ownership. He wants to have like sort of a special stake in it, and his, you know, his self identity and ego being mixed in with is anathema. It's unacceptable to offering that's brought for every Jew equally. We're not giving any preference to anybody. So therefore the rabbis say, nope, we're not accepting other people's grain. We're daf going to hire our own guards, we'll pay them, and therefore no one should do any favors, no one should have any special claim or status, and therefore that's the only possible way of doing it. We can't get other people to volunteer their grain on the Shemitah year for the Shtei Lechem and the Omer. So that's Machlokas. Here the words are inside. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Af Harotze Misnadev Shomer Chinam. A person who came across grain and he got it for himself and he wants to, you know, give it to the Beis HaMikdash, is permitted to donate it to the Beis HaMikdash, and we could accept it if that's how things shook out, says Rabbi Yossi. But the Chum reject it. Amr lo af ata omer. They say, no, we're not doing that. And even you agree. She'ein ban ela mishel tibor. You yourself agree that it has to be communal grain. Can't be privately owned grain. Although you might hold that we trust the person to fully relinquish his ownership and mean it wholeheartedly. He wants to do a benefit for the community with nothing left for himself. We are concerned that perhaps he would have some sort of connection to it and retain some sort of connection so he can have this sort of know that, oh, it was my grain that was offered. And therefore, we reject that. We just simply will not accept a private person giving the grain for the omer or the shtei lechem.